And now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Travis V. from the Monday Night Miracles Group of NA.
I'm Travis, an addict. If you guys don't mind, I want to take a moment of silence to get myself out of the way, because I drove from Youngstown. So that's 2.5 hours of thinking of some bullshit to tell you guys. And I don't want to do that. I want God to speak through me. During that moment, if you can ask the God of your understanding to speak to you through me, and I'm going to do the same thing. And then we'll follow by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Alright, I want to thank the speaker before me. Great job. I appreciate it. So, two things I want to start by saying is, the first thing, I wish I would have known my first time through these steps how important the previous steps were to that step. And the second thing, step 8 talks about willingness, and I want to make sure we just all have the same understanding. Willingness does not mean I can't wait to fucking do this, or I'm so joyful about this. Willingness just means I'm going to do it. And like, it's just like my sponsor told me in my 8 step, like I thought about when I was using and what I was willing to do to get the next one, right? And sometimes we don't talk about that in retreats and conventions and things like that, but sometimes like, it's very important for me to have an understanding of the disease in order for me to have an understanding of what I'm trying to recover from. And for me, I was willing to do whatever it took. Literally, whatever it took. When you guys leave here, you'll get service on your phone. You can Google my name and you'll know what I'm talking about. It didn't mean I wanted to do it. Most of the shit, especially the last couple of years, I didn't want to do it. I knew it was bad. I knew it was wrong. I knew if I did this, something bad was going to happen. But I did it because I was driven by the disease. And that's what the willingness is in step 8 for me. I did not approach my 9th step where I could not wait to do this stuff. So I remember getting the treatment, and I knew about the 9th step. My dad was in Narcotics Anonymous when I was living down in South Florida. So I knew about the 9th step. And I remember when I got the treatment, like the thing that wanted that kept me from the 12 step program was step 9, you know? And I remember when I went in there, like, my 9th step, now mind you, I'm just in treatment, and I'm thinking about step 9, and I'm like, well, this sucks, because I'm going to have to make amends to my mom, to my dad, to my kids, things like that. And that's what I thought my step 9 was going to be, and it was a way smaller list than what it really was when I actually got there, but it was very scary at the time. I remember the counselor, who was a member of Narcotics Anonymous, told me, when you get to this step, you'll be ready for this step. So it's hard for me, it's actually impossible for me to speak on 2 steps without talking about the steps before. Step 8, we made a list of all people we had harmed and we became willing to make amends to them all. See, I had to go back and really look at my 4th step and my 5th step and especially my 6th step, because amends means change. Like, it doesn't mean I went around and made direct apologies. I remember there was a kid in treatment in another fellowship, and we had like 40 days clean at the time. And he was crying in group, remember group and rehab? He was crying in group, and he's like, I don't get it. I made an amends to my mom, and she just wouldn't accept it. And I'm like, your mom's still paying for the fucking ring to get out of the pawn shop, you know? Amends means change, man. Amends means change. So like, I had to do a real thorough 4th step, extremely thorough 4th step, and I thank God for our step process, because there was a lot of defects. Like, and I'm sure you guys know if you've been to this step, like there's a lot of defects you'll find out about yourself before you get to 4. Then you're gonna notice a lot when you're on 4, and if you got a sponsor like I do, they're gonna point out a whole fucking shit ton when you're doing your 5th step. Right? So I had to be real thorough, because it wasn't about just saying I'm sorry to my mom for robbing her or telling my kids I'm sorry for leaving you or anything like that. Like, I had to look and I had a long list of defects. And then I had to work a thorough 6th step, right? And I'm going to touch on the 6th step, and I know this isn't about step 6, but 8 and 9 for me was about step 6. And step six was making that change, right? Step six is where it was that acting as if and faking it until I make it and taking my defects and working in the opposite principle. Because a lot of my defects, look, but and I'll just touch on a few of them. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was angry, I was violent, I was sexist, I was racist, and I was just a mean fucking person, man. And I remember when I did my six step, like my sponsor with the racist one. He said, you got to go to 90 meetings, 90 days that's not predominantly white and reach out to somebody who's not white every day for 90 days, right? And I had to do that. It was very uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable the first few times calling a black dude and talking to him. And I'm not trying to be funny. This is just my story. It was uncomfortable telling him why the fuck I was calling him. Telling him I was raised to not like you. I was raised in an environment that if you weren't a white male, you weren't shit. I remember the sex one, right? He said, you can't sleep with a woman for 90 days. You think quitting crack was hard, right? That's the hardest thing I had to do clean, for real. And it was uncomfortable, but eventually I got used to it. I started to live my life in a new thinking, just like when I was using. I didn't wake up robbing Dollar Generals, but I remember the first time I robbed a Dollar General. I remember how uncomfortable it was, and I was scared, and I thought I was going to get caught, and I thought I was going to shit myself, right? But by like the sixth, seventh, eighth time I did it, I became used to it and it became who I was, man. And it's the same in recovery. And my sixth step, I had to be real thorough on my fourth to be able to start to make these changes. And then I went to my seventh step. So the defect's a part of me. It's always going to be a part of me. And I can pick it up just like I pick up this water. But what God did in step seven was relieve the obsession for me to act out on it. You guys with me? So then I had to go to eight. And I had to look at all this fucked up shit that I did and all these defects I had. Because if I would have done my A step when I first got here, it would have been completely different, like another addict shared before me. I also want everyone to keep in mind, see, the way I work my steps, and I think it's for the most part in Narcotics Anonymous, it takes some time. We're not, you know, doing 1, 2, 3 at a sponsor's house for 30 minutes. I'm not. I don't know what you guys are doing. It takes some time, you know, and I think I had a year or probably more now. I might have had a couple years clean on my first ninth. And these steps, we take a long time on these steps so we can have a thorough understanding of what they are. But that doesn't mean that I can't make an amends. If I need to make an amends, if there's an amends, if there's somebody that's constantly in my life that I did harm to, and I'm around them all the time with 6, 7, 8 months clean, I can go ahead and seek guidance from my sponsor and my support group to make that amends before I get to 9, right? I'm not going to live like an asshole. I'm not going to not change behavior, apologize for what I did, and say, well, I just ain't on that step yet. You understand what I'm talking about? So it's important for me to understand that. It's important for me to share that. So I had to make a list of all people I had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And I remember when I got here to this step, it sounded easy to me. Like, okay, it's just a list, right? Until you got to put people on that fucking list that did more harm to you than you did to them, man. You see, there's a lot of things that happened to me when I was real young where I was the baby that didn't have a say-so in the matter. There's a lot of disgusting things that happened to me when I was a kid. And I appreciate the girl that shared before me, like, these amends are about me, man. It's about cleaning my side of the street. So whether somebody harmed me on a level 10 and I hit them on a level 1, I need to become willing to make amends to those people. Again, that doesn't mean I want to. That doesn't mean I can't fucking wait to do it. It doesn't mean I'm happy and joyous about it. Willing just means I'm going to fucking do it. No matter what, I'm going to do it. See, I watched my predecessors and I seen the people before me and I had to follow their guidance, man. And I had to become willing to make amends to them all. So, becoming willing to make amends to them all, there was still, we got to keep in mind, amends means change. We didn't make direct apologies, we made direct amends. We made direct amends, change. So if there's shit on my A set, like for instance, I used to sleep around all the time, right? And I did that shit clean. Sometimes I still might act out. But I can't be willing to make an amends and making amends to a girl that I harmed in that way if I'm still doing the same shit. Because amends means change, right? And pretty much step 9 is going up to you saying, look, I know I did you harm. Here's the money I took from you. What else can I do to make this right? I'm letting you know that for the last couple years, I've been doing everything in my power, working on these steps to make sure to the best of my ability, I never ever do this to you again, right? That's a simple step nine for you. That's what step nine is, man. So step nine says we made direct amends. Now, this might sound controversial, and it's okay. They asked me to share my experience, strength, and hope. We made direct amends, except when to do so would injure them or others. You guys with me? Them or others. It don't say you. And you can argue that all you want. It doesn't talk about it in our literature anywhere. There's no literature that says others may mean you. And if you want to argue that, talk to me afterward, but bring your book. Others does not mean you, man. And I remember talking to my sponsor, right? And I'm like, Mike, his name's Mike. I said, there's some certain amends. Like, if I do this, I'm going to prison for the rest of my life, without a doubt. And I'm not going to share about them because statute of limitations ain't up yet. I'm coming up on 6 years, maybe next year or something like that. We can share about it. You know, and at this time, and Mike told me, he said, you know, you got a son, brand new son. You're an H and I. There's people that rely on you. You got a bunch of sponsees. You got a family. You got a job. People rely on you. You going to prison for the rest of your life will harm others, man. You know, and I had to look at that. There was things on my amends list. And this is just me, like, I want the full freedom of these things. And I heard when I got here, and I continuously hear it, half measures avail is nothing, right? Because there's a lot of false prophets in Narcotics Anonymous. There's a lot of people that will have you stand up here and have you guys laughing and crying and shit, and it just doesn't match the literature. They might see a meme on Facebook or something and try to share it, but some shit just don't match the literature. So when you put in half the work, and people will share this. If you put in half the work, you get half the rewards. And that's false, man. I've been to a lot of funerals of people that were putting in half the fucking work. I got to do this thing for me. Like, I got to do this thing to the fullest, man. I want the full freedom. I want to do exactly what the 12 steps tell me to do. And I had to make direct amends to such people, except when to do so would injure them or others. So with 2 years clean, 2.5 years clean, I had to go sit in jail for a little bit, man. For shit that really, if I never mentioned it, if I left it off my step like the addict before me shared, I would have never got caught doing it. They would have never caught me. See, I got high in South Florida. That's where I'm from. I live in Youngstown, Ohio now. So there's a lot of things that I didn't really have to tell. You know what I'm saying? And my sponsor and some other addicts said, go do this. You know, and it talks about it in our step working guide. I appreciate you reading that, because the step working guide is the best literature we got. Read it at meetings too often or anything like that, but it talked about seeking an attorney's advice and things like that. And through this fellowship, I know a whole bunch of people. I speak all over the place, man. And I'm able to really interact and meet people. And I met an attorney in Narcotics Anonymous who represented me for a lot of my stuff, but I still had to sit down and do some time clean because I was making an amends, man. Because I was making an amends, you know, at the time. I'm going to tell you a quick story. My father, he had 5 years clean in Narcotics Anonymous, like NA guru, goes to conventions and speaks, and he did all this stuff. And like with 5 years clean, he thought he could, he got involved with the wrong people. He started living dirty. And he was murdered. He was beat to death. He died of blunt force trauma to the head. And I was 22 years old when this happened, still high, you know, there was a lot of amends I needed to make to my dad. Obviously, they would be indirect because he's dead. And it's crazy how this process works. I don't know if you guys done a nine step. People are going to pop up that you ain't seen in a long fucking time. And I remember that. Like, I remember praying after eight before I started nine. And me and my sponsor, saying, like, bring people into his life that haven't been there. And I remember, like, praying, opening one eye, like, dude, no. I don't want to be doing all that stuff. So my father died, and like my amends to him, my sponsor told me to write a letter, go to his grave site, which is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, read the letter, burn the letter, right? And I remember doing that. Now, when my dad was clean, his home group was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on a Sunday night in a pavilion right by the beach. And I remember making this amends. I'm telling you about his home group for a reason. I remember going and making this amends, and I remember calling Mike like a month later and saying, you know, I still feel like I owe him something. I feel like this wasn't properly done. And he said, just wait, just hang on, right? And this was in June of 2014. So I get a call in July from and I'm living in Youngstown at the time. I get a call from an old buddy of mine from down south. He had no idea. He had no idea of the story I just told you guys, right? I had no idea he was in recovery. And he asked me to speak down in Florida. And I started asking him questions. I said, yeah, where is it and what day and blah, blah, blah. He said, it's in Fort Lauderdale by the beach on a Sunday night in this pavilion, man. And I was able to really make that amends, man. I don't want to start crying, especially on my table. I don't know who's listening to me. That's what this process does, though. You know, when I was getting high, I've done a lot of bad things, like we all did. There's women. I used to put women up on Backpage when it was a thing, when I was living down there. There's a lot of women that I met that never even touched a drug, that I got addicted to drugs, and they're no longer with us, man. As part of my amends, and I've been doing this for a long time, I donate to a battered women's shelter every single month, and I'm telling you, I'll let my lights get shut off before I miss that fucking payment, man. I'm not proud of it. I'm not the addict that says I have no regrets because I wouldn't be where I'm at today if that shit didn't happen. There's some things I did I wish I didn't fucking do, man. I got two little girls. I have four kids now. I have a 10-month-old. I have a son who's going to be four. And I have an 11 and 12-year-old. The 11 and 12-year-old were there when I was using. They were there when I walked out. And I went to the military after school, after high school. And my daughter's mom was also in the military. I was from Florida. She was from Nevada. We ended up getting married, having kids. And she moved back to Nevada when I went back down to Florida after the military. And they have what's called an abandonment wall, right? I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but you go 6 months without talking to your kids, they can be adopted. And she got remarried and my kids were adopted when I was in treatment. Still haven't seen them to this day. Reached out to their mom many times, you know, and she thinks that at the tender age they're at just right now is not a good time. And it don't matter what my opinion is on it. I don't have a choice. I respect it. I did a lot of harm. They were 2 and 3 years old when I left, and I remember them screaming and crying and yelling, "Daddy, don't go." Well, my disease was saying, they're not going to remember. Don't worry about it. They remember. You know, so there's certain things like I can't really do, but when it's time, and thank God that thing happened with the amends with my dad, because I believe that. Like, when the time comes, I'll be ready. I just got to stay in position, man. I got to continue to work these steps. And when I say work them, I mean, like, live them, right? I'm going to say something else controversial. Writing on steps is fucking overrated, man. It's essential. It's important. But where it's at is living these steps, man. It's living these steps. I remember I did 12 steps strictly on women with, like, 3 years clean. Strictly on women. I did 12 steps on them. And I remember calling my sponsor. I'm like, Mike, I wrote all this shit out. Everything's written down, and I keep writing, and I keep looking back over it. But yet, I'm still doing the same shit. I'm still having this obsession to do it. And he says, stop writing and start living, man. And that's what it's about, living these principles in all my affairs. Not just coming in here and trying to sound real good, because there's a lot of people that just preach the message. I want to carry the message. I want to tell you guys stuff that I want you to watch me out there how I live, man. And it's important. Like, it's very important that I got a sponsor that knows what the fuck he's talking about. I didn't get a sponsor with 6 months clean. I didn't get a sponsor that had, you know, 3 months clean. I got a guy who's been through this stuff and has actually lived this. A guy who's got enough humility to say, I haven't been through that, ask so-and-so, instead of trying to give me his opinion. I don't know, like, I'm not going to go on too much longer. 8 and 9 are very important. The direct amends, except when to do so with them or others. Others does not mean you. It's a direct amends, man. A direct, not no Facebook, my bad type bullshit. It's going up to you and letting you know that, look, I harmed you, right? And again, I've been working on myself for years, and I'm letting you know to the best of my ability, I'm not going to do this to you again. And the amends are about you, just so you guys know. Because there was people I went up to. I'll give you a for instance. I robbed one of my friends of $500. And I remember when I went to make that direct amends to him, he said, look, I just want you to stay clean. Just stay clean and keep doing what you're doing. I said, okay, are you sure? He said, yeah. So I continued to do that. But every time I was around this guy, I still felt less than. I still felt like I owed him something. And I reapproached this dude after guidance from predecessors. And I said, look, man, I still feel less than. I took $500 from you. I'm going to give this money to you. I'm begging you to take it. And I'm not trying to sound like an asshole, but I'm doing this for me, man. Do whatever you want to do with it. Donate it, put it in the basket when it comes around, or whatever the case may be. And he took that amends. He took that money from me. And that's what the amends is. It's not, if you took money from people, you owe them that money. I know a guy who makes six figures a year, right, and lives in a house that's like a $4,000 house, and he's got about 8 years clean because he's paying back all these credit bureaus that he owes. Because he really believes that that's a financial amends that he needs to make. I'm not telling you guys to go ahead and run and do all that stuff. It's something I did. It's something I did because I want the freedom like you talked about, man. I don't want to worry about debt collectors calling me. You know, and when I'm really trying to live these, I'm going to move on to step 10. I know it's not my topic, but step 10 is imperative to make sure I don't have to make another big-ass step 8. I need to live this stuff. Step 4 and 5 is about my past. Step 10 is about today. Did Travis do some shit Travis used to do? Because I got to remember, the old me got high, the old me will get high again. And I don't want to be that guy that's making the same amends to the same people for the same thing time and time and time and time again, man. I appreciate you guys for putting this together. It's awesome. It's awesome that I don't have any cell phone service as well. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.